Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It's going to turn dark. It's going to get a little bit harder. So the Bible says you need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. He's the head, for we're members one of another, the Bible says. Therefore, you need to really do all you can to stretch yourself out, loving others in an intent way. The Bible says we need to be mindful to fervently and earnestly reach out for one another. Why? Because the bottom line is that the world is hostile. You need a place to call home. You need a family. You need brothers and sisters. Because it gets disorienting when you're alone. Paul said he had a sense of death in himself. He didn't want to get around God's people because he said, I'll make you sad. I want you to make me glad. Why would I get around you? And so you begin to fold in. No, you can't do that. You got to just keep going. Be a blessing. And listen, not be a blessing in the sense of, I'm going to church to get blessed. There's a difference in how a person goes to church. Some people go to get blessed and some people go to be a blessing. He didn't ask you to go to a church that's reaching out for you. He said, go to the church and reach out. Do everything you can to serve. Go in there to be. Look what it says in verse 23. Being. What? That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a lover of your brethren. Do you love your brethren? Do you love them? Do you know some people need different kinds of love? Right? Bible says support the weak. That's love. Some people just are struggling all the time. It says, warn the unruly. Some people are, you know, they're in there trying to be unruly, not walking in step. The Bible says, support the weak, warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak means those people who have no strength. And then it says, comfort the feeble-minded. That's a person who's little-souled. They just don't have much. Maybe they're brand new in the faith, or they just have been beaten up when they were little. They don't know why they're the way they are. Listen, the world's hard on different people. That's why we can't treat everybody the same. But you need to love, and you need to go and stretch yourself out to love. And I got to say, I appreciate so much when I hear people are doing that in such a way, like supporting people when they have a death or somebody who's shut in, or and there's cards that get sent to them. What a blessing that some of our folks just do things behind the scenes that nobody even knows, but you should know. And in your afternoons, on Sunday afternoons, why don't you take a moment and say, what can we do for ministry today? Have you thought of that? Who can you visit this afternoon? Who can you go visit for Jesus? And the Bible says no. He says being born again. He says you are born again, not of corruptible seeds. He says now you're being, now that you're something, okay, now you're alive, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And now that word seed, keep your eye on it, because the title of our message is Abiding Forever. It says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So the word of God is the seed. Remember we talked about the parable of the seeds and the soils and all that? What is it? It's the parable of the seed. The seed went and fell here, it fell there, and some was thorny, some was stony, but it was received in thorny and stony. And those people struggle all the way from here to heaven. Thank God they're struggling. Good sign. You know, if people aren't struggling, probably never got a dose of it. And by the way, in a world that is as messed up as ours, as many people get saved and they're in churches that are hard to be in. They don't know enough to go find a church that is a little bit more biblically sound, but it's like worldly. That's what the Bible says. They got the cares of the world and it choked the word. Okay, so the word wasn't the thing. It was the worldliness that was the thing. And maybe it was a church that was a church of stony ground where they picked on you because you didn't toe the line like they wanted you to toe the line. They had a list of rules or whatever. You're not in church today. Stony ground. Kind of rough. Just got to bear with one another and that may not be a word he knows yet, so, you know. But then there's the good ground, and so you find the best ground you can find, and you dig in there, and you be a blessing in there, and you do everything you can to facilitate that thing. The Bible says that this incorruptible seed, that means this seed that God gave you, this word of the living God that is no longer hidden, this gospel, it does not corrupt. Isn't that good to know? It doesn't corrupt. And you're now in a place where you personally get to enjoy something that is founded on truth, will last, endure, will abide throughout history as it has to this very day. And the Bible says, but by the word of God, which liveth Now, that's important. Because the Word of God is alive, you can trust it. And that means you can love, even though people aren't lovable sometimes, because you can trust that God's going to do something with them. What did Paul say in the first chapter of Philippians? He said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete that thing. So if they're not really toeing the line the way you want or treating the way you want or being the way you want, no, just forbear, bear with, give it to God is in there, God is in them. Let that word accomplish that which God is trying to accomplish. Do you have that much faith? Do you have enough faith to think the Word of God can have free course in somebody's life? I mean, with your wife, your husband, do you know that God is in there? He is in there, man. If the Word of God is in there, He is changing them. And you can't control that. You can be bitter because they're blocking your goal, but your desire needs to be that you want the best for them and then figure out how can I get the best for them. See? If they're blocking your goal, you're angry. If you've got a great desire, then you can pray on that. You can order yourself and arrange yourself in a certain way. Now, the Bible says the Word of God lives and abides forever. And I like that because I've entitled the message Abiding Forever, because if it's in you, guess what? It's just like the Bible says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and we were able to obey through the Spirit and He's in us and the Word's in us. Guess what? He's taking us on home. We're going to abide forever. Look what it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Why did he say that? How does that come into play with this whole we're saved forever, and we're secure, and the Word of God abides? Well, let's go back and look at the earlier place where this was first said in an overt sense. It says this in Isaiah 40, verse 6. It says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? The answer came back, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah is looking at the world and he says, these people around you who are tweaking everything, this world, this lost system that we see being put on full display as evil, God is blowing all over that. If you've got the Word of God in your heart and you're doing what you can to just hold that out, holding forth the Word of life, if you're doing that, you are showing who you are. You have been born again. You have believed, received, fashioned. You're doing what you can to cooperate and you obey through the Holy Spirit. And he said, listen, everything that you're struggling with, all those enemies of your faith and of your soul, those enemies are going to fade away. The Jewish people would have known the rest of this verse. It was not haphazard. He says, you know this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the world passeth away in the lust thereof. Listen to this. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will and work of God? It is to believe on him whom he has sent. That's it. The will of God is that you believe on Jesus. And once you believe on him, you receive salvation and it changes you right like that. Event, born again. Stony ground, thorny ground, you're struggling, you're saying, maybe I am saved, maybe I'm not. You guys remember, don't you? In 2 Peter, where the Bible talks about the person who doesn't behave, you know, in a certain way, doesn't fashion themselves, they're short-sighted, unto blindness, barren, and unfruitful. That's what it says. This is a person who's barren, unfruitful, and has forgotten that he's washed of his sins. Does that mean he's not washed from his sins? No, it just means you forgot something. It's true still. My point is this. He's saying that the will of the Father, those people are going to abide forever. He's ending this chapter doctrinally by saying, you will abide forever. He says in Hebrews 10:36, the writer of Hebrews says this in 10:36, he says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's the will of God? That they believe on him whom you sent. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Let me read that again. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. And if that's not clear enough for you, it goes on to say, but abides forever. Doesn't that feel good? Isn't that good to know? Is that worth coming? Was that worth the price of admission? You've got to understand, folks, the devil will try to throw you for a loop. This world is intense, man. It gets up in your face like walking through woods and the branches hitting you in the face. And you're just trying to walk one step in front of the other. This world is on a roll right now of evil. Just like it was for these Jews, they were scattered, meaning they were dispersed just like seed. The Word of God in you is the seed God is putting in your world. Another passage is you're kept by the power of God through faith. See that? That's in verse 5 of chapter 1. Here, our passage. Verse 25 says, the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why did He shine in your heart? To give light to who Jesus is. The Bible says that we, therefore, have this treasure in earthen vessels. Is the Word of God in you? Is the Gospel in you? Is the truth of the truth of the truth no longer hidden to you? Do you know that there is a way, straight as the gate that leads to life, and it's not talking about how good you behave? No, it's narrow, because it's Jesus. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way. I'm the good shepherd. I gave my life for you. He's the way. And the Bible tells us in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you realize that when we get into chapter 2, He's going to start telling us how to behave? Desire the sin, so milk the word, you're living stones. And He's going to start making some applications. But this chapter has been a doctrinal chapter. Do you know who you are? Do you know how awesome you are? Do you know that if you could see you as the angels see you, you would be tempted to bow down and worship? You're going to have the light of God on you. The Bible says the Lord God Himself lights us up, just like He lit up Moses. They said, put the veil on Moses, we can't take this. The angels are going to be your servants. You're not going to be with the angels in the way you think. The angels are still going to be servants. They're going to be oohing and aahing after you throughout eternity. Just remember who you are, because this world's going to get goofy. Every week it's weird. You go out, the things cost more, double the money for your gasoline, double the money for some of your food and some of your ice cream and things like that that you might like. Things like that, those are trivials, but you know what I'm saying. Some of us live simply already, so it's hard for us to feel that it's all that bad. But we see it. We see that some of the shelves are light. We see the gas prices. It's costing you twice as much to go where you go. If you have a truck that gets 18 miles to the gallon, think about that. It costs you $4 to go 18 miles. This is crazy stuff, but it's not important stuff. Jesus is on the throne. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh at the nonsense the world's trying to pull off. And the Antichrist will come into his own eventually, and you and I will be out of here. So just hang on. Look up. Realize who you are and realize why you're here. The light of the glory of God is in you. And the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You don't do them to be saved. You do it because you've got a heart that loves. Love fervently. Love the body of Christ. Love the people around you. Go find somebody to serve. It'll help with depression. If you do well, it'll lift you up. That's what it literally means in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do well, it will lift up your countenance. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.